Beauty and the Beast, A Gay Tale for the Kiddies. One of the most tragic and unconscionable aspects of the revolutionary movement to normalize homosexuality and the trans cult is the grooming of children whose hearts, souls, and minds the LGBTQQAP community and their useful progressive idiots seek to captivate and capture. In that unholy effort, the wizards and other unwitting servants of Uncle Wormwood at Disney have a new grooming gift for the world's little ones, the soon-to-be-released Beauty and the Beast starring Emma Watson, known to Harry Potter fans as Hermione Granger, and Dan Stevens, known to Downton Abbey fans as Matthew Crawley. Matt Cain, the editor-in-chief of Europe's number one gay lifestyle magazine, Attitude, interviewed Beauty and the Beast's director, openly homosexual Bill Condon, who also directed the first two Twilight films and the pro-homosexual film Gods and Monsters. In this deeply troubling interview, they discuss Beauty and the Beast's queer sensibility. And I quote, "So, has Condon been able to make more of the story's queer sensibility?" The answer is yes, Condon replies without hesitation. He tells us he's introduced a gay moment to the film. A gay twist is worked into the plot through the relationship between Gaston and his sidekick, LeFou, played by Josh Gad. Condon explains, LeFou is somebody who on one day wants to be Gaston and on another day wants to kiss Gaston. He's confused about what he wants. He's just realizing that he has these feelings. And Josh makes something really subtle and delicious out of it. And that's what has its payoff at the end, which I don't want to give away. But it is nice. Exclusively gay moment in a Disney movie. Off the record, he tells us what happens in that gay moment. We won't spoil it for you, but we can reveal that the film introduces another minor character who's also discovering his sexuality, and at the end, when everyone's at a lavish ball to celebrate the love between Belle and her new prince, these two characters find themselves with a chance to connect. But will Disney duck out by de-sexing the connection between them? Condon assures us that this isn't the case, as the actor playing LeFou's potential partner is hot. We looked him up on Google, and trust us, he is smoking hot. Condon admits to being encouraged by positive responses of those who viewed the scene so far. "We tested these movies with family audiences," he said, "and we did two of them, and both times they broke out into applause, and that was thrilling, thrilling. And on the feedback cards later, so many people mentioned loving the gay moment." Until now, Disney has never given us a single explicitly gay character, although the studio has created several characters of ambiguous sexuality, and ones who can read as coded gays. So when Condon started working on the film, was he aware there was a glass ceiling his predecessors had never managed to break through? "Absolutely," Condon says, "but I love coded characters, by the way." Condon admits that as a gay filmmaker, there was a political motive behind his desire to build into the new Beauty and the Beast a subplot that wasn't in the original script. "What I love about it is it's completely woven into the fabric of what we've built." Condon stresses that the studio was supportive of his desire to add a moment of same-sex attraction. To their credit, no one at Disney ever took any notice or gave it another thought. He assures us that the scene will be kept in the version of the film released in all territories, even in countries where it's illegal or considered unacceptable to be gay. He might be modest, but when we think about the impact this will have on families and children in countries such as Russia or Uganda, this is a big deal. Hopefully, it will encourage Disney to go farther in the future. For now, though, Beauty and the Beast stands as the gayest film Disney has ever made, at least according to its director. End quote. Leftists like to believe that the increasing public approval, worshipful adoration, and celebration, that is, idolatry, of homosexuality and gender dysphoria is a natural, organic, and inevitable moral evolution. It should be patently obvious to those who subscribe to neo-Darwinian evolutionary theories that a movement that embraces practices that oppose the survival of the species cannot possibly be natural or organic. But in the infinitely elastic world of neo-Darwinian evolutionists, there is a fanciful explanation for everything. For example, homosexuality is explained as a natural form of birth control for an overpopulated world. But then, how do they explain the increasing numbers of homosexuals purchasing eggs or sperm to create more lives? Oh well, such is the incoherence of leftists. The truth is, the cultural movement to celebrate unnatural, body-harming, sterile unions and the sterility-inducing, body-mutilating trans cult, which is limited to the so-called developed nations that have the luxury to wallow in perversion, is informed and impelled by many diverse influences going back decades. These influences include the embrace of the sexual revolution, abandonment of theological orthodoxy, requisitioning of government schools for disseminating pro-deviance propaganda, and wholesale, unquestioning embrace of disordered sexuality by useful idiots in advertising, music, literature, theater, and film, who are our story-spinning, myth-making, tall tale tellers. In a non-rational, touchy-feely culture, heartstring-pulling narratives win the day, and souls are lost. Please, do not take your loved ones to this movie. And here, I want to mention the coded Disney characters as identified and described in the Attitude article. First, they list Ursula in The Little Mermaid, and they say the voluptuous sea witch was modeled on drag queen Divine, perhaps fitting for a film based on a fairy tale written by gay author Hans Christian Andersen, who saw it as a metaphor for his own love for a man beyond his reach. And there's Governor Ratcliffe in Pocahontas. They say, the article says, there's a tradition of effete villains in Hollywood, including in cartoons. From Shere Khan in The Jungle Book to Scar in The Lion King, there's no saying for sure that they're gay, but they do incorporate stereotypical gay mannerisms. In doubt about Ratcliffe? Get a load of his hair. Then there's Hades and Hercules. Yes, the flame-haired have him in our life. Demigod is another villain who can be read as queer, but he can also be seen as a riff on the stereotype of every girl's gay best friend. He's around to offer Megara relationship advice, and if he could get us closer to Hercules, we'd be happy to. Then there's Timon and Pumbaa in The Lion King. The flamboyant meerkat and warthog bring up young Simba when he's separated from the pride. Their finest moment is teaching him to sing and dance in Hakuna Matata, a queer anthem about forgetting your worries. Hell, we'd like them to be our gay dads. And finally, there's Oaken in Frozen. In a brief scene, the friendly shopkeeper invites Anna and Kristoff to use his sauna and is seen waving at his family, another Mr. Two Children. But it's unclear whether they're his husband and kids. And blink and you really will miss it.